about me, but not everybody knows it, but I've created maybe the greatest Motown playlist.
Oh, I didn't know where you're
on Spotify.
Go.
It might be the greatest.
Well, I have the greatest Christmas playlist of all time.
There's no question.
Someone's got to have the greatest Motown. It might as well be you.
Here's what I'm saying to you. My Motown playlist, it may not have every great Motown song on it, but here's what I can promise you is you start my Motown playlist, it's going to be banger after banger. Mm. It never lets up.
That's great.
There's never a moment where you're like, oh, I might skip this one.
It has a great name, too.
Hitsville, USA.
Yeah, yeah.
In all caps.
I think it's a great name.
But yesterday we were playing Hitsville, USA in the house, and the song Think by Aretha Franklin came on, and I had the very sad job of telling Nora, as she was singing along with Aretha, that the Queen of Soul has passed away. It's a sad week in music. It is. And you actually made me think about this, because when I came in your house today, you were singing You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
Oh my goodness, when she sings that at the Kennedy Center, is that what
it is? Oh, yeah. With the Kennedy Center Awards for
Carole King's up there, right. Yeah.
Because Carole King wrote the song.
Yeah.
On the incredible album Tapestry.
Oh my word. But when she, there's a moment where she takes her coat off and she just starts playing the piano. And you're like,
well, she's playing the piano with the coat on.
Yeah. She takes the coat off and stands up just singing the mic.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my word. That's.
And the Obamas are crying, and Carole King stands up and reaches out her hand towards Aretha. Look it up on YouTube. It's one of the greatest moments in music history.
That was just like 2 or 3 years ago or something like that. It wasn't long ago.
To be perfectly honest with you, I didn't know Aretha could play the piano. I never seen her do it. I only seen her just slay the microphone just with impunity, you know? But then to see her just killing it on the keys and singing, oh, man.
She sounded as good as ever, too. She was probably 70 years old. Never. 72 or something like that.
At that point, she was 73, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, she never lost a step. Gosh. Aretha. But if you want to hear the classic Aretha bangers, that's on Hitsville, USA, Spotify. Look up my profile.
He makes no money off of this, so.
Zero
money.
Might
as well follow it.
It doesn't cost you anything to follow this playlist. It doesn't put coin in my pocket in any way. However, it will better your life.
Yeah. If anyone's listening hard enough right now, they can hear me scratching my beard. You have to listen really hard.
Yeah. So, this is Lee and Thomas. We're back in Oak Ridge, Tennessee with another episode of Ancient and New, a Bible study podcast that we bring you live from the nest, which is what I affectionately call Thomas and D-Rod's house. On Nesper in Oak Ridge.
It's all but a nest. It's as small as it comes.
Yeah. It's roughly the size of a nest.
Yeah, yeah. We're just two little wrens chilling in here. It's the best. It's the best.
That's a nice mental picture. Just two wrens nesting in their little nest.
D-Rod's definitely not a wren, but
no, he's not a wren.
Like a new personality test. What kind of bird are you?
Wow.
He's a seagull if I've ever seen one.
I don't know how he's going to feel about that. We're going to have to ask him later. So we're here on this Bible study podcast talking about, this is our kind of midweek meditations. We're talking about things that we're getting out of the scripture. And I think I'll start this week, if you're fine with that. Did I start last time? I don't know.
In Spain, I think you did.
Okay. Well, do you want to start this time?
On me in the middle of it. It doesn't matter to me. I'm ready if you're ready.
Okay, why don't you start?
I'll start.
Go ahead.
Okay, so been almost done with Isaiah. Just kind of been going through it, which like it's kind of got to trudge through the beginning of it a little bit. It's just like a little difficult. It's dense and there's
the nation of Israel is kind of getting a spanking.
Yeah, and then at some point in the middle of it, it switches and it becomes like a second. You've said it before. It's almost like another book of Psalms. It gets really beautiful. And then there's I was reading in Isaiah 50, I almost said Psalm 52. Isaiah 52 the other day, and there was a lot of things that jumped off the page at me. And then, but there was one in particular where it's just a quote, and it just says with an exclamation mark at the end, "Your God reigns."
Hmm.
That's all it is. Three words: "Your God reigns." And it stopped me for a second because I thought about what does it mean that God reigns? Like, what does it mean in my life that God reigns? That He's the King of my life, that He is sitting on a throne and He's in charge.
Hmm.
And it made me think about all the things I'm going through. It made me think about things I'm having a hard time with, things that are going well for me, things that are tough for me, things I can't see through right now. And just the thought that He's in charge. He's reigning over that. He's the master of it. All these big words that you could put next to someone who reigns, He's all those times infinity. You know, like he's looking at me not in a way that a king would look in the 14th century at its subjects, but as one who loves me. You know, and that I can't think of a nation ever who, you know, in our history books where a king loved his subjects well, but I'm in one right now, you know,
like, right.
Where the king who is reigning over my life, over my world, over everything, who's got it in his hands, loves me in all that, you know, I'm not some subject of his in a way of, you know, in a negative way. It's a cool place to be in, you know, even it was just comforting for me to think, oh, he's in charge. He's got this. He's ruling. And later it says, like, the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. And I just thought, I'm protected. I'm covered on both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, when I think about this, it occurs to me that, you know, it's the reminder you need when it doesn't feel like it.
Mm.
You know, when I don't feel like God is reigning, that's when I need this verse. And I remember when you told me you were going to talk about this, you pointed out that it has an exclamation point on it.
Yeah.
And that's a cool thing because that is one of those devices that's going to make it jump off the page for you. And, just kind of knowing some of the stuff that you're going through right now, it's a really sweet thing that this is the thing that you're reading.
Yeah.
You know, I think about the disciples in the middle of a storm, you know, and of course we can never read that story without thinking about the fact that Jesus is going to hush the storm,
right?
You know, that He's going to still the storm. And when you see the way that Jesus reigns over nature, it's like over, like no king has ever been able to stop a storm, but this king does,
right?
Or no king has ever been able to stop a disease, but this king does. Or, when Jesus shows up at the funeral of Lazarus and He just ends the funeral. Like, he just calls an audible on a funeral.
Right.
And raises the dude from the dead. And so a funeral becomes a party. Yeah. It becomes a fiesta. It becomes
a birth or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a quasi-birth.
That is a really odd picture. But, like, it's like all of a sudden we're partying where we were crying, you know? And that... Not only does our God reign, but He reigns in ways that don't even make sense to us. So that if we were in the middle of those situations, like in the middle of the storm or in the middle of a disease or in the middle of a funeral, we wouldn't have the creativity or the guts to think that this could change. And yet all of those stories, when we start reading them in the Gospels, we know what's going to happen. Well, for us, so often, we're in the middle part where we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
That's where we live. And in the end, we're going to find out how true this verse is that you've reminded us of, that our God reigns. We're going to find out in the end that He reigns in beautiful ways, that He reigns in unbelievable ways, that He reigns in creative ways, and that He's in control completely. And I think it's cool. I also think it's cool that in the middle of... because I don't think this is easy. And I think that we need to say that like... In the middle of some of the things that some of us are facing, questions about our future, questions about money, questions about our health, questions about relationships, it's not an easy thing to just take this sentence, "Our God reigns," or "He goes before you and He'll be your rear guard," and just like slap that like a sticker over right. the thing that we're feeling. But I think it's the it's the prerogative of those who trust the Lord to do that. If I've decided, like, I'm gonna trust Him, I'm gonna walk with Him, that's when I need to be reminded of verses like these, because that means that I'm the person who's looking for that. Right. I'm the person who's looking for that answer in the middle of a difficult time.
Right. It's not. I mean, I'm not in the middle of a. You know, like you said, and when Jesus calms the storm, like I don't know. I don't remember what it's like to read that story and not know what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I know what it's like to go throughout my walk and to feel like I'm in the middle of a storm and not know how He's gonna do that, or if He's gonna do that, or when He's gonna do that. You know, because in the middle of that storm, He basically just. It's instant, and He says, mm-hmm. He just tells it to be quiet. It's all of a sudden, and it's quiet.
Yeah, hush.
But I do think one thing I can take with me is this, that I know, like, do I know how He's going to do that? Do I know when He's going to do that? No. But I do know He's in charge. Mm-hmm. I do know He's in control, and that He's reigning. It's funny to use the word reign in the 21st century. Yeah. You know, I never think of that. You know, like, does the Queen of England even reign over England? I don't think so. You know, like, it's technically a monarchy or not, you know, whatever. But, like, I can't think of anywhere in the world where that applies except for as a believer. You know, like, except that God is reigning over my life and over the world. He's in charge. I think that's a really sweet thing to think about.
It is. My thought is from Psalm 9. We're both in the Old Testament today. Psalm 9 says this. This is actually a psalm of David. And this is one of those cool ones where it tells you what the melody is supposed to be. And
says, to a song that we've never heard of
before. Yeah, to the tune of The Death of the Son.
Mm, wow.
Which is, yeah.
It's like a Flaming Lips song.
Yeah. It's intense, you know?
Yeah.
I'm thinking it was a Metallica song because I was in the other one the other day. Christy and I were having dinner at the other one, and
that's a restaurant in Oak Ridge.
Yeah, the other one is a restaurant in Oak Ridge. It's kind of a short order diner, you know, like a burger and, you know, burger place. And when you go into the other one, the sandwiches and burgers are really, really good there.
Mm, very good.
They always play Metallica there.
Yeah.
It's like every time you go in, it's sleep with one eye open,
exit.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. It's one of the great guitar riffs of all time.
I haven't heard that song in who knows how long, but I heard it the other day. In my head. Yeah.
So when I hear the to the tune of The Death of the Son, I'm thinking ching 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 ching. I'm thinking like really heavy guitar stuff. But this is what Psalm 9 says. It starts out this way: I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So the thing that stuck out to me about this is the helping verb. In all of these sentences, I will.
Mm.
Praise, tell, be glad, and sing praise. This is a guy who says, my intention is to do this. I am making a call. I'm doing this. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to tell of your wonders. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in you, and I'm going to sing to your name. He's making a decision. This is a voluntary, intentional thing. I'm doing this today. This is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to praise. I'm going to tell somebody how good God has been to me, of all of his wonders. I'm going to rejoice in him. I'm going to find a reason to be glad, and I'm going to sing. I'm just going to sing all out. And I realized a couple things when I read it. One, it had been a few days since I had like sung on purpose.
Mm.
It had been a minute since I had like sat down in a conversation and just said like, can I tell you something? Can we talk about what the Lord's done for us? And can I tell you what the Lord's done for me? And then I realized like, I don't know if I know what the voluntary, like actual actionable step of being glad and rejoicing in the Lord. I don't know what that actually feels like and looks like. But the reason I wanted to bring this up is this really cool thing that's happening in my life right now, which is I'm watching my oldest daughter play a sport really for the first time. She's on the high school cross country team, and she's never done long distance running in her life before this. This is like a brand new thing for her. And I can very plainly remember years past when, like, the middle school would make the middle school, when you're in middle school in Tennessee, they make you run a mile every year. That's probably nationwide. It might be worldwide. I don't really know how that works. But they make you run a mile every year. And that was always her least favorite day of school. Mm. Was like, they're going to make me do this. I hate everything about this. I wish I were sick today. And I wish if I could stay home sick that I wouldn't have to make it up.
Mm.
And then she decided for whatever reason to run cross country. And like, she's doing it.
Mm.
Like, she's running multiple miles every day and doing interval workouts. Like, the other day, she and her mom ran 6 miles together.
Wow.
6 miles. And, like, the mile run day used to be her least favorite day ever. And I went to go pick her up from the weight room after they had practice. And Coach Ed, their coach, he came out and he said, "Hey, Anna is doing really, really well." And I was like, "Cool, I'm glad to hear that." And he said, "Yeah, one of the things about cross country is you can't fake it. You can't fake this sport. Either you're doing what you need to do or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like, pretend that you're in shape.
Yeah.
You have to do the mileage. Because they have like, runs they're supposed to do over the weekend and runs they're supposed to do on Wednesday when they don't have practice. And she's doing every one of them." And he said, "I can tell." The reason that I bring that up is that there are certain things in your life that the only way you get good at them is to just do them.
Mm.
And then the next day, you do it again. And the next day, you lace up and do it again.
Mm.
Running distance is one of those things. You can't just do that and be awesome at it. You have to show up and run a little bit every day, a little bit more the next day, a little bit more the next day, and build that muscle up. Like, right. If you're going to have a great jump shot, you have to just shoot a million baskets. Mm. You just have to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. If you're going to have a good golf swing, you have to practice it over and over and over again. It's the same with drawing. It's the same thing with your right hand on the guitar, all that, your strum hand, all of that stuff. It's things that you have to do over and over and over again to build up what we call muscle memory.
Mm.
And I think that's the thing I love so much about what David is saying in Psalm 9 is he's saying, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm going to tell somebody today how God has been good to me. I'm going to figure out what it means to rejoice in you. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to sing. I'm going to actually put on some music and sing." And so after I read this, like, I was going to keep going with my quiet time. And then I thought, no, I'm just going to start one of my other great playlists, which was my Kirk playlist.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also in all caps. Only a few of my playlists are in all caps.
They deserve it. I listen to the Kirk every morning.
The Kirk one, it deserves to be in all caps. Yeah. So I started the Kirk one, and it was his song Brighter Day, which is one of the great bangers of all time. And I just sang. And like it's, I don't want to use the term "it worked." I think the term I want to use is the Lord met me there. Like, I moved toward him and he moved toward me. Didn't, like, change my whole day. Like, my problems didn't all disappear or anything like that. But, like, I did worship the Lord. And there's something about that, just the way David says, "I will do this today." There's a thing I can do to move towards the Lord.
Right. I think that's super cool because I think one thing for me is, and you just said it too, but if I ever get to a place like this in the scriptures where it has something like this, like a clear list of things to do in a minute, you know, like in a moment, like to praise, to sing, whatever it is, I often find myself stopping and doing that in that moment. Mm. Okay, like, I'm journaling right now. Okay, how can I praise Jesus? Here's a list of things. How can I sing to him? Well, I may not do it right now, but as soon as I leave here, I'm going to put music on in my car and I'm going to do it. You know, like,
yeah.
I have moments where I do this, and I like, and a lot of times it's forcing myself to, which I kind of get the, you know, like, a lot of times the first thing I do in the morning when I have my quiet time isn't to want to sing. I put on Kirk Franklin because I know I have to sing. You can't just listen to it and do it. But I get the feeling that David,
I always find myself here, dancing when I listen to that Kirk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a different, which I'm not a good dancer, but, like, it's kind of like, I'm just like, Lord, I'm just going to praise you with this awful dancing. Right.
But I get the feeling that, like, if this song is to the tune of the death of the son, that David was convincing himself to do these things. You know, he probably wasn't writing this in the best of spirits. I could be wrong. That could be the happiest song of the negative two century or whatever it was.
Exit light.
Yeah, just like, who knows? But I get the feeling that David is, he is saying this either to his future self, like, I will praise you.
Wow.
Or in this moment, I will praise you. I don't know what it is, but sometimes I have to convince myself to do those things. You know, a lot of times my quiet times are me convincing myself and talking to myself and saying to myself, okay, I'm going to do these things, which we see David do so much, like rant about the way he feels about something and then say, okay, but you're good and you are this and you are this and you are this. And I think it's okay to be there. And I think it's a good practice to do it. You may not, I'm not trying to tell you to talk yourself out of feeling the way you feel. And I'm not trying to downplay those feelings, but I think it's a good practice to say true things about Jesus.
Yes.
Even in moments where it feels really hard.
That's right. And
even in moments where you don't necessarily believe them, you know, because to be honest, there are times when I'm feeling crappy and I don't believe a lot of the good things that the Bible says about the Lord, which is, that's hard for me to admit. And it's about to be recorded and people can listen to it, but it's true. They are true though. They're true. Even when I'm having a hard time and I need to remind myself of those. And I get the feeling that David's doing this here.
Yeah. Yeah. He's talking himself into it. Yeah. This is a volitional, intentional moment. And I think that's the thing I respect about it so much is, exactly as you're saying, the feeling here is, I don't want to do this right now, but I will.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to.
Right.
And it is my will. It's my, almost by willpower, I'm going to do this. I'm going to chase this down. I'm going to... Salud.
I tried.
Yeah. I'm going to get... almost like, I'm going to pull myself out of this, and I'm going to get better at doing this. And by the way, like, I think it's a true thing, and I would encourage everybody listening to this, like, if you don't have a part in your day where you do actually, like, physically sing out loud, I would say don't save singing for the Sunday morning church service, or whenever, if you go to a Saturday night church service, or whatever, whenever you have church, whenever you have worship, corporate worship, that's important, and that's good. But don't save your singing for that.
Right.
Sing to the Lord. Try to sing to the Lord every day. That's one thing I like about this is I'm going to, this guy saying, the tune in my heart right now is the death of the sun, whatever that sounded like. And exactly as you're saying, it's probably rough.
Yeah. That lyre was, you know, in a minor key.
It was in a minor key for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the midst of that minor key, somebody sang, and yet I'm going to sing. And I'm going to sing praise. And I'm going to find somebody today, and I'm going to tell them of the wonders of the Lord that he's done for me. It's a good practice, and it's a good thing to be volitional and intentional about. I think that's important.
Me too.
Cool. I think today's podcast has definitely been brought to you by the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. Rest in peace. Thank you, Queen.
The other one as well.
Several of my playlists, which also Aaron made a playlist for all of our leaders called New to You with a question mark. That's a good one too.
Is that a, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good one. It was in the leader link.
Okay. No, I looked at the leader link. I guess I just didn't see it.
It's a good one. That's one I like to sing along with too. So, until next time, folks, I'm Lee.
And I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New. My heart to know you and to love you, but from the start, well, I went my own way from you. I was
If the sun has set you